Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to Clicker, I Barely Know Her, a The Last of Us HBO TV series recap podcast. Nice and easy to get out there, not a mouthful at all. My name, it's Ben Vanel, and I'm joined by Tommy D'Asolo.
Hello.
And
anyone jumping in for the first time, you can already tell our electrifying chemistry is what really drives this show.
Who's that? Who's that speaking?
It's Adam here, The Last of It. Every time it's like doing The Last of Us podcast,
no, sounds my favorite like thing to say.
This yeah. bouncy like Italian guy going, The Last of Us podcast.
The Last of Us podcast. Yes, here we are. It's we just watched episode 4 entitled Please Hold My Hand. What did you guys think off the top? First blush?
I got to say, I got a proposition for you guys.
Whoa,
I think
okay.
we're now at 4. We're getting close to being halfway through this series, mm-hmm. and still not a single character in the show has referred to them by clickers.
Yes.
So I think we got to change the title of this podcast to Infected, I barely know Ted.
Yeah.
All right.
It's kill every time they're like, and are we going to be hunted down by, I'm like, say it. They just have made a decision.
Yeah, yeah.
Because on the official HBO podcast, those cunnies are still calling them clickers.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Brother, get this into the script.
I tell you what, IMDb credits, people are credited as playing clickers.
Well, what about
a
person is the real monster, I barely know her. That would also work.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're getting more into that part of it.
Ellie, I barely know her.
Yeah.
I barely know her.
Yeah.
Maybe someone in the show across this series is going to coin the term clicker.
Oh, sure.
Maybe we'll see the genesis of that. Like we'll sort of see, you know, it'll mimic the actual infection itself. It's like one person goes, oh, like a clicker. And then
we see it spreading.
They
spent a whole episode on them coming up with clicker. It's such a diversion from the plot. Nothing even happened this episode.
Suck me off.
Last week's ep, big week to be a contrarian on the internet.
Yeah. We famously loved it, as did 99% of the viewers of the episode.
Yep.
Made a lot of people cry out there.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful episode. And anyone who didn't like it is wrong.
it's fun to be back. Like, it's a comforting place to be, and we're doing this about the TV show, but coming from a history with the game and having toxic discourse coming from the world of video games, I'm right at home, baby.
Yeah. We know by now to just roll our eyes and not care too much about
it. So you got to do roll them up into the back of your head like you're a clicker yourself.
Yeah.
But I wanted someone last week did email us in reference to. We felt like Bill still having a big stockpile of toilet paper was something of a blunder.
Yeah, we got an email, I think, with the subject line, bog roll.
Yeah. Yeah, listener Ian had done the maths on, like, you know, how much you would have gotten through. But funnily enough, I had been thinking about this during the week, and it did strike me that I didn't think of at the time, but, like, the prepper mentality of Bill would be, if you were trying to, you know, preserve these rations for as long as you could, you would be shitting and then hopping in the shower immediately.
Yeah.
You know, I do.
We've lived
did
it 3 years from ago.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It's it's fine. Or, you know, you get some baby wipes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you do what you have to in times of crisis.
Sure.
So the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I think we were actually a little harsh on the, you know, on the reality of that situation. Like, it tracks to me the more and more I think about it.
I there was one detail in this one that was like something I saw a person on the internet or whatever point out about last week that I didn't really know or think about, but looked it up, and the petrol has an expiry date.
Yes.
And I guess I didn't really consider that because it just seems like, because it's such a poisonous bullshit thing, you think those last forever.
Yes.
but it goes bad.
Yeah.
And they address that in this one. Yeah. He had to refuel.
I guess they can always wipe their ass with like plastic bags from supermarkets and stuff like
not
that.
Not anymore.
Right?
Not anymore, because they got rid of them. You could have years ago.
Yeah. You can't use the paper ones.
I'm not putting a bag for life up my ass.
No, but exactly. 03, I guess there would have just started to be some canvas bag. No, probably not.
No. Yeah, that was within the last 5 to 10 years. Yeah.
Beautiful. You're getting them for free. Yes. You're getting them included. You're not having to pay 15 cents.
Yes.
You can watch them blowing in the wind. How do people know about the how transitory life is after plastic bags are gone if you can't film them blowing in the wind?
Yes.
Do
you reckon American Beauty is it was before people turned on it? By 03. It was like only three, four years old at that point,
they
right?
They still had... Oh, yeah. American Beauty was still considered a classic then.
Yes.
Let Me Be Frank and Bill had not been put up on the internet yet.
We did get a guy here saying that they wished that the show took place in Massachusetts just so I could hear you guys fuck up pronunciations of towns like Peabody, Dedham, Leominster, Leicester, etc., including Worcester, which I do know how to pronounce because I have a very good friend that lives there.
Oh, wow.
So sucked in this person.
Yeah. Worcester, sir. We know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Peabody.
I read that and I was like, this motherfucker doesn't even know that I had a bone marrow transplant that my donor lives in Worcester.
Oh, wow.
Owned on the internet.
thanks to everybody who emailed. We've got a lot of them and not a ton of time to go over them, but clickeribarelyknowa@gmail.com is where to send those to as well.
Yes, yeah, we've been reading them, like literally I'm reading them right now. Joel, thank you for the photo of your beautiful greyhound, Reggie. Keep sending them all in. I guess questions for us are ones that we will probably definitely be doing on the show.
Yeah.
But we love all of your comments and we will, reply to the emails as well.
Obviously very long thought out things that people have sent us are very appreciated, but we don't really have the time to get too deep into them here. So, if you want to be read out on the show, if you keep it brief, but we also, we're loving reading all the feedback and correspondence and people's theories and things they've noticed and things like that.
Yeah.
And just pictures of pets, always welcome.
Yeah.
Let us know how you think your pet would react to a cordyceps outbreak like this.
Yeah,
you know, maybe we can have viral pet corner as a regular feature of the show.
Yeah. I'm all for that.
Draw yourself or us as a clicker. have fun.
What's that, Adam?
Please.
The speed with which people got up pictures of Bill and Frank after last week's episode as well. People are able to jump on that shit quick. And it's just I mean, not that we're in a bubble here, and that's the way I like it to talk about it. But like, people, I found it funny during the week, people missing the point of storytelling by the criticism of it didn't move the plot along. I think is so lacking in comprehension.
Yeah. That's what we were saying, right? Like it not being to your tastes for whatever particular reason is like, that's one thing.
Yep.
But it's almost to the point of being too on the nose.
Yeah.
That note about like, hey, men like you and me, you know, we have to protect, we have to do this. And him being like, all right, well, Tess isn't here. And as he says at the start of this episode, you know, your cargo, but Tess was family.
Right.
And it was important to her. So, you know, I got to do this. It's like, he would still be, you know, toying with the idea of just abandoning her if it weren't for that note.
Mm. And the God help any motherfucker who gets in our way, we see some of those motherfuckers this episode.
Yeah.
And
we actually, like we said, we don't necessarily have heaps of time to read our very long and interesting emails we get sent. We have probably a bit more time this week because it was a short episode.
Yeah.
It was, and this like is like... more of a, not fill, but this is setting stuff up episode.
And this is the kind of the grave that they've dug for themselves, is that this is actually a normal length episode by any other show's standards, but because they've done a couple of movie lengths, it's like, bit lazy this week, guys. Only a casual 45 minutes.
A full TV hour? all right.
No, I know there's no ads on HBO. I know that there's no padding there.
It's not TV. Please Hold My Hand, the fourth episode. We're seeing a lot of, and again, if you're new to the show, the format of this is we only talk about the TV show.
Yes.
No spoilers for anybody who's just watching the show, even though we've played the games.
Yep.
The majority of this here will be spoiler free, only everything that's aired so far. Then at the end, we do a little sealed section for people who've played the games and want to you know, hear our thoughts about stuff that might have more spoilers.
We'll be coming up clearly marked that.
We clearly let you know.
It's funny
we're about to do that.
Last week during that episode, I was thinking, I wish someone would please hold my hand. It was so sad.
Yeah.
And this week, the episode is called "Please Hold My Hand."
Well, I mean, people in the show were thinking that too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
The details that we pick up on. Wow.
What if
the
next
details
week's...
of something I made up?
What if next week's episode is called Clickers?
What if next week's episode is called Ellie Go Through the Wall?
Yeah.
We'll be like, damn, that's like last week.
Oh.
I enjoyed
like Christopher Nolan shit, honestly. Yeah.
I enjoyed this episode.
Yes.
Let's go through it.
Let's
this
go
has so
through
far
it,
been the most
beat.
Like kind of, I guess, the sort of like version of the show that you would have had in your head from playing the games
I
a little
think that's
bit.
Fair,
this is
yeah.
like, especially after the pivot last week, you know, very unexpected spending time on these, you know, other people. This is, you know, we're following the course a little bit more now. We're
yep.
into like, you know, they're on their journey.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now we're really getting into what was kind of set up from even two felt a little bit, it had that tension in it.
Yep.
But it was still setting up, still kind of getting the gears going. This is like we're on.
We're
this
on
is
the real trip, yeah. post-apocalypse shit too.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
We don't see any of the infected this whole episode, but this
True.
Is
yeah.
the...
We barely know them.
Especially from like...
We're knowing them less and less as the weeks
we really
go
are.
By.
Ep 3, we saw like one through a video camera.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ep 2, we
oh,
got
and under
a couple.
The bricks.
Yeah.
The landscapes and stuff like the similar to the second episode, the way this takes the time to show you
yeah
that moss grows on shit after the grass grows on tanks,
which I was like, where had that moss get up there onto
nature's
the car?
Nature's a beautiful thing, man. You ever heard of wind?
Oh yeah, dirt go up,
wind blow
yeah.
wind
hey,
blow on them.
Fungus has started to mutate differently in this world. Maybe moss is like, we go up now, baby.
Yeah.
We're not infecting people's brains, but we're going up.
They go up now? They go up now. It's also happened in real life. Did you guys see the news story that the cordyceps fungus in the real world
right.
has begun to mutate due to raised temperatures?
Is that...
That is genuinely true.
That's
Are you
cool.
sure that wasn't just like a summary of a Last of Us episode?
No, it was in the Wall Street Journal. It was a
damn.
Real story.
Inspired by the show. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Maybe this
yeah.
is like a brand activation where like...
yeah, this
so
is...
HBO employed some scientists
fuck.
To cook up this for real in a lab.
Doing one of those, what do they call them? The like viral marketing campaigns.
Mm.
They're like, make it literally viral.
Oh, yeah.
Quite
like
honestly, if something close to this started to happen in real life, there would be people going, HBO planted this.
Oh, God.
The makers of the show did this deliberately.
And Bill Gates somehow.
Yeah, I knew they had an agenda. I told you after episode 3, I said agenda. And I didn't mean it in that way at that time, but I knew it.
I knew it.
We open up on episode 4 with Ellie playing with her gun in
mm-hmm.
the scariest part of the episode to me.
yeah.
Going a bit taxi driver style.
The
yeah.
fact that even post the fall, people, just human beings, naturally want to know who's talking to them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we'll play in the mirror with a gun. She's even got the same jacket on
yeah.
as De Niro.
Big
I hope
Trav.
She cuts her hair. Little mohawk. That'd be sick.
She's mucking around with her toy gun and
yep.
well, real gun.
Real gun.
Real gun. But she's treating it a bit like a toy.
But she knows kind of how to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And later on she tells Joel like they sort of taught her in Fedra school what
yes.
a gun is.
Mm.
So she's excited by it
she's,
too.
It's she's giving Chekhov because it comes back later in a big way.
Oh, big time! Yeah,
yes.
the look she has in her eye as well is similar to how she was looking at that clicker she got to stab in the last episode.
Yes.
How she was looking when Joel was beating up that guy at the front of the QZ.
Yep.
There's a little bit of fire in this kid.
Yes.
Yep.
In a slightly worrisome way.
Yep, agreed.
Well, again, it's like she's been born into this world, and they kind of reference that in the first episode. Tess getting jumped by a bunch of like 19-year-olds.
Yes,
she's
yes.
like, you know, these people that were born in the QZs, they're animals. And
yeah.
she like again, like in the last episode where she kind of hopped down into the mm-hmm. pit, into the storage basement thing of
yeah.
the, and we were sort of remarking on like, what a dumb thing to do, but also like, yeah, she just doesn't get danger because it's like she lives in this world where that's the norm.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
more and more seems to find it
exciting,
appealing.
Yeah.
So
it's
she's
her equivalent of like climbing a tree when you're a little kid, right?
Right?
Is to just fuck around with a gun.
Yes, but also kind of the equivalent of a kid who would like maybe pull on a cat's tail a little too
hard.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, yeah.
That's sort of the
get the magnifying glass out and fry the ants.
Oh, that's yeah. That's the feeling I'm getting off of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though, and in this episode especially, she's very much a kid.
Yeah. Mm.
Like she goes back outside to this petrol station where Joel's siphoning some petrol out of a tank.
Yep.
And has this joke book.
Oh.
That.
It's so funny.
Yeah. It's the Kevin Sheedy joke book, I believe, isn't it?
It's the she's got Koshy's big bumper book of jokes under her jacket. And
that,
like,
would rule if she was just like, hey, Joel, get a load of this. A Muslim and an Irishman walk into a bar. God. And Joel just like, oh, God, no.
It's Ellie, 2023, no. Ellie. Which in this world means absolutely go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got other things to worry about.
The fact that, like, classic jokes like Scarecrow outstanding in his field and mm-hmm. stuff, it makes sense that would be, you'd never have heard them.
Yeah.
They're not around. There's not Twitter. That's never like, a blue tick.
That's like Nathan Fielder in this world. It's like, wow, that's so subversive.
It doesn't even mention the apocalypse. But they get loaded up and driving off listening to some Hank Williams.
Yes.
Mm.
Do a lot more like, you know, softening up to each other throughout this episode. That's kind of the course that we go on through this is...
It always happens on a road trip. Mm. You get closer together, you form a bond, you see a lot of fucking broken down cars and train bridges half collapsed. I loved all of this scene setting stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You find really yourself cool. A quick porno mag.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In the back of a truck.
Yeah. And we all had to pause the episode at that point and go off into separate rooms. Came back, resumed it. Feeling very refreshed.
There was like a shot of some, I think they're bison. I don't know my American animals particularly, but like...
I think so.
Bison with a, or buffalo maybe, or, and again, I don't really know the, but the thing I took from that one little particular shot was almost a nature is healing type of thing of mm-hmm. like, well, now the humans aren't here, guess who's roaming the fields again and that sort of thing. But I don't know if I've misread that because I'm not like...
I put fucking buffalo into Google and it comes up with the city in New York State.
You're mispronouncing it. You mean buffalo.
I do.
Americans find our pronunciations of their cities ridiculous.
I believe bison is what they were. The ones that, were hunted to almost extinction, if not,
But we get these like sort of... The naive Ellie being like, oh, well, I hope I get to see a tank.
Yeah.
Mm. And with Joel's like, oh, you'll see a tank in their bed. And like, her seeing more and more of this world because like, there's a line that comes way later on, or maybe it's in this road trip.
Mm.
I'm looking at the episode on my phone, but you know, that's only so helpful. But of Ellie saying something about, it's some version of why can't we all be friends,
right?
Mm. Basically, like, how, why would everyone fuck the world up like this? I don't remember exactly when she says this. How come we all have to fight?
Is it when they make camp and Joel's like, well, we're not worried about clickers.
Yeah,
we're worried about people.
And Joel is very quickly like, you haven't seen the world, you don't get it.
Yeah,
and this is Ellie going out and seeing the world now and seeing those tanks and shit on the side of the road all broken down.
Mm. And also, like, it's, you know, they've done such a great job of making the cities look all, you know, destitute and run down. And then these bits where they're just in nature, it's like, God, that looks beautiful.
Mm. Oh, I'd love to go into some trees and have a camp.
Yeah.
I like
a
how
nice
he's
smelling
like,
sleeping bag.
Yeah. I like how he's like, this is too remote for clickers. It's like, why? They're glued to their screens, man. They're at home playing their Switch.
Because they eat people, Tommy. And if there's not a lot of people in regional areas.
Yeah.
Because they did sort of set up that they die without, in a relatively short time.
Yes.
It seems like. So it makes sense that the population centers are the places where they've congregated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they take a break from the driving. They're figuring out that it's going to be a long drive. And
which I thought they kind of pull off the road and they go through a field and then they're in dense trees. And because the shot kind of hung on the tracks that they were leaving through the long grass, I thought, they're going to get, this is going to lead someone straight to them.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. The show successfully misled us.
Yes.
But they do find some people later. It's very tense.
Yeah.
And they have this
little baby.
Wow.
You wouldn't be scared in the apocalypse?
Nah. Yeah, okay. I'd be tough. I'd be the king.
Okay.
Go and get me some lame clothes. I'm sick of wearing this post-apocalyptic stuff. I need something bright and pastel.
Yes.
Still, that's what the king wears. But yeah, they have this little camp, and Joel too directly scares Ellie about, like, because she's like, what, are they going to come out and rob us? And he's like, they'll do way more than rob us. Yeah. Like, the it way does, he says it is like, you got, Joel.
It's a different R word, actually. Like, it's very scary. Yes.
He's throwing it, but, you know, she has to understand.
But he then kind of, it sort of backfires because he says that to her because she asks if they can light a fire.
Mm.
And he says, now, why am I going to tell you no? And she says, oh, because the infected will come.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's like, well, they're too dumb for that. And then, yeah, that's when he scares her with all of that. And she then, as they're going to sleep, she's like,
yeah.
So are you sure no one's going to find us here? And he's like, yeah. And then a couple of minutes later, he's up keeping watch all night.
Yeah.
When his plan had been to sleep. So it's like he scares her and then she scares him back around. Like her just kind of reiterating that makes him go, actually, I was pretty keen on some shut eye, but I guess I'll stand here with my gun all night.
It's interesting as well, like the way that it, because she kind of like cracks a couple jokes and he's like, shut up.
Yep.
And then asks him that before going to sleep. And he already knew that before going to sleep, but it almost does seem like it's her asking him about it. I don't know if it spooks him or that he's like, shit, I've got a duty of care here.
Yeah, exactly. And even that, like that setup of like him saying, I'll get some sleep and then tomorrow I'm going to drive all through the day and all through the night and then that'll get us to Wyoming. Again, I thought this was setting up, okay, he hasn't slept. So he's going to be on the road.
Oh.
He's going to be a bit, you know, fucked from that.
Right.
Like something might happen there around him just being like,
driving while drowsy is the real monsters.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think we've skipped a little bit ahead past. There's a bit of backstory in the truck on the road. I think it's before we get to the camp, right?
They do a bit of this after the camp too. They're driving before and after.
Because they talk about, I guess Ellie asks about Tommy, about the destination, about what, you know, why is Tommy over in Wyoming?
Yeah.
You know, when you're living in Boston, and Joel explains, you know, like, well, Tommy is this kind of guy where he needs a cause and he wants to feel like a hero. So he joined the army.
That's in their next drive. Yeah, like they wake up, there's some coffee boiling. Ellie thinks it's gross, makes a Starbucks joke, which again, it hadn't been done to death. She's got the joke book.
Yeah.
She's got the Leno monologues.
Yes.
She's making Starbucks jokes.
I did think that was funny world building, that it's like, Starbucks opened up in the queues. They kept it running. They kept it running when everyone got caught. It's like,
I don't know if it was a running Starbucks that she's talking about. I think she's just seen the broken out shops is what I assume.
Yeah.
I don't think that was still,
I really
maybe.
Did. I took it as like,
no,
they just kept it going.
That's the only shop that's still exists.
Yeah.
You can't get rid of them. They're like the infected. They're popping up on every corner.
Because this is Bill's coffee too that they've gotten. So I assume the coffee's hard to come by. But yeah, they have this talk that you were talking about of like, we've got a long road trip. They're looking at the map and figuring out that it'll be hours and hours and hours. And
25 hours or something. Yeah.
Yep.
So is Tommy your brother? Is he your younger brother? Mm-hmm. And we learn that. And so, the way Joel talks about it here, I think in the first episode, because of that bumper sticker he had on his car, we assumed that Joel had
been
in Desert Storm.
I think so,
and that
he'd
been a soldier, and that's how he knew to use guns and all of that stuff. But
yeah.
Seems as though it was just Tommy and Joel didn't approve.
Yes.
Because he, like you were saying, talks about how he thinks it was a mistake that Tommy made, that he wanted to be a hero and go and save people. And that's right. That's when this conversation comes up with Ellie of like, well, how come he was doing that? Like, why, and, you know, fighting in general. And Joel's perspective on it is, he lays it out very clearly, like, you shouldn't do that. Being a hero is a trap. He fell for the same trick when he ended up joining the Fireflies after meeting Marlene.
Mm-hmm.
He convinced me to leave Texas and go to Boston with this group. Mm-hmm. That's where he met Tess. Fills in all of those sort of blanks.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then says very directly, like, none of that shit matters. You shouldn't fight for anyone other than family.
Right.
That's the only thing that matters is family. That's the only reason there is to
and you,
do
Ellie,
anything.
You don't matter to me.
Right. You're your cargo.
Yeah.
Tess was like family.
Yeah.
Tommy
your cargo,
is family.
My cargo. And we drive across the country.
I refill with gas.
He's gone real Dom Toretto hours.
Yes, he has.
Totally. Having a drive down the freeway talking about family.
La familia, yeah.
But so he sees Ellie's natural sort of like, well, I don't know, how come it's bad to be a hero? Like, what's why was that stupid of him?
Mm.
Versus Joel's very jaded, cynical, like, okay, there's no point to anything.
Right.
It, like, he sees it as childlike naivety from Ellie, but I don't know, maybe she's just fucking nicer than Joel.
Right,
you know, maybe he's a fucking dick.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, I can't disagree with him that the most important thing is, like, family or the people you consider to be family.
Yep.
But, yeah, I also think it would be dangerous to be too naive.
Well, it's also the fact that Tommy's like, what does he call him? A helper? Or he calls him, he goes, Tommy's some nickname for this kind of person.
He's a joiner, which was just his
job. A joiner.
Right.
I think.
His what?
I think he was just telling her about his job.
No, I think it was he was saying that, yeah, he joins up with things.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, I took it to just be that he's a joiner because they worked in construction.
Yeah. I think it was more of a
right. He's conceptual. A group joiner.
Starbucks is operational, and a joiner is a job that Tommy had. No, because it's like frustrating to him that it's like he has this thing where he'll get involved and he wants to help people and he has a hero complex, but that manifests itself in joining the army and going off to Desert Storm and following this like militia group. Like,
but then both times also doing it and then kind of being like, oh, well, that didn't give me the feeling that I wanted, so I'm just going to quit it.
Yeah. And Joel says about Tommy that he's like delusional.
Right.
Basically. Mm. Or that the Fireflies are delusional and that Tommy can get swept up with these delusional people.
Right.
So he's cynical about it and Ellie has a bit more of a like, well, what's wrong with trying to do something? What's wrong with trying to help?
Right.
And yeah, the fact that she's literally a child, I think he sees it as naive, but also Joel is clearly a very, you know, look out for number one type of guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that same thing with people like that is they're often able to extend it to family, but it is like this, I guess, selfish worldview that doesn't not make sense, but is like very isolated.
Yeah.
So they keep driving along. Ellie has a comedic smash cut to being asleep.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was a little jarring. It's not been a funny show so far.
I don't know if you missed that whole joke book scene.
The pages were stuck together on the porno.
Yeah.
You know, she's a classic kid in a car. I'm not tired. I'm asleep. And wakes up on the outskirts of Kansas City at a blocked off tunnel with a big semi-trailer sort of blocking the way there. And Joel gets out and has a little look around and sees the tunnel's clear and makes a... They look at the map and figure out it'll take a while for them to get around it by going back out of the city. So it makes a judgment call to go through the city, which is like, I don't know. You can smell that that's maybe not the best.
Yeah, it seems. Yeah. It's because and I guess, you know, they haven't come across any trouble since starting the actual road trip.
True.
Maybe he's got a little, a little too relaxed.
Well, and he's also, they've set up at the start that petrol doesn't get you as far as it used to.
Petrol Pascal.
God.
Shit. Can we change the name to that?
Yeah. Let me write into this joke book guy. I've got an idea for joke book 3.
The Last of Us gags book that they're going to put out to tie into the massive popularity of the show.
Clicker, I barely know her.
That kind of registered to me that him being like, it's such a long way to go around and then we're like, what? We're breaking down off an off ramp with no petrol and like, where are we going to siphon from if there's not a petrol station there. I bought that weighing up the like big risk to go through the city, but we are in a truck, you know.
And he sees it's clear post the tunnel, he looks under the truck and they don't intend to get lost either is the other thing, because they come off the ramp and immediately they're like, so where the fuck are we? And Ellie's like, it's my second day in a car. I think we're going north, but I don't know. You should have known how to do this, Joel.
Yeah.
And they're unfortunately wandering through Kansas City and see that the QZ there, gates wide open.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nobody there. Nothing. Clearly this place has fallen, which indicates more
not much of a quarantine zone.
No.
Not much of a zone.
It's just an open area.
It's just blended in with the rest of it.
It's blended in with the piles of smoking bodies.
Yeah, it makes a fair effort to show you, like, there's been burnings
yeah.
here.
Yeah, which, yeah. again, more jokes in this episode. It's bizarre.
And then they...
That
they,
is funny.
They go for the funny visual gag of there's a guy in the road.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, he is a prankster, this man.
He is kind of... He's pretending.
I guess a trap is like a prank.
He's yeah. a bit of a jackass, you could say.
He's pretending that he's hurt.
Yeah. That's
He's doing like... He's sort of doing like improv.
This is the scariest shit. You hear about this happening.
I think it's
scripted. You hear this happening in the real world too, you know,
yes,
like
you
where
do.
People will deliberately put a smashed up car in the middle of the road
yeah.
and have someone act injured so they can jump you.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happens here. And it's fucking, it's for whatever reason, that specific scenario scares me so much.
Right.
Being like, and again, Ellie's like, are we going to help him? And Joel, cynical.
Yep.
Seatbelts on.
Yep.
Let's try and run him down.
Yeah. Which, ep one, they see that, you know, that couple with the kid trying to
right.
wave them down in 2003.
Yes, yes.
And even back then, this MF ain't stopping for no one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He
That's hates pulling over.
It's not Joel's experience post-pandemic
right.
that has made him this way. He was always this way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's this dude of like, fuck you. If I can run you down, I will.
Yep.
But he's right. They get an air conditioner or something thrown on their car.
Yeah.
And,
I think that's Jerry's one falling out of his apartment.
Right.
Famously Seinfeld said in Kansas City. Yes.
In 2023
yeah.
post-apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah.
And
what if Seinfeld's still on the air? Jerry throw air conditioner.
Jerry become infected.
They get barreled off the road by this sort of group who's pounced on them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Crash into a shop. And a gunfight is on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this sequence.
It was visceral. The gunshot sound effects were
yeah.
fucking really, really impactful.
The score in this bit,
yep.
as Joel's kind of, he's hiding behind the car. He's there with Ellie. He sees a little teenage girl-sized hole in
yep.
the wall.
Yep.
And he goes, you go crawl in there, you hide, and you don't come out until I tell you it's safe to do so.
It's mm. interesting as well because, like, you know, this is in no way spoiler comparison to the game,
mm-hmm.
but, like, the tone of the show as an adaptation, like, and just in general, the way that this fight happens, it's not filmed or presented like a big action scene
sure.
with, like, you know, here's the move that happens and like, even something that's trying to do a realistic action thing like Children of Men or whatever, it doesn't
yep.
film it to make it exciting from a choreography standpoint.
There's never close-ups on the people firing at them. It's all, like, that's kept impersonal. You're right there with Joel
yeah.
and Ellie for the duration of it.
And it's slow and it's real and it's grounded mm. and it's, like, it's not... it's like a few quick gunshots and
yeah.
one of them's down.
Yeah.
Well, it's way more like human consequence and
yes.
like
yeah.
stress about like, okay, this is what I need to do to protect this person and like be aware of my surroundings and less about like making it look cool and exciting
yeah,
and
exactly.
like you're in the midst of the action.
Because yeah. the game is trying to be grounded too, but like in this sequence, there's a bit where they try to like jam your head into like a shard of glass.
Oh yeah.
And stuff like that. And that's just not happening here. They're not adapting that stuff. And it's like, it's all over pretty quickly.
Yep.
Yep.
But it's like clearly scary and stuff's happening. And Joel takes out the two people who are sort of after them from across the road. And, then a third person enters
mm.
from behind him through this door
mm.
and starts to sort of choke it, gets him on the ground and is choking him out with his gun.
Yeah.
Which is when Ellie's help from Mr. Chekhov
yes.
comes out and shoots this man in the back and creates this fucking horrific situation
yeah.
where this fucking kid, this like 20-year-old whatever
yeah.
looking kid mm. is begging for his life,
mm-hmm. yep.
has been shot in the back by Ellie and like is on the floor. He's like, okay, we're done fighting. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My name's
okay.
Brian.
Yeah. I'm Brian.
Take
Brian.
My knife, please.
Oh, you've read the joke book too, Brian? And like it's kind of presented as the, like, it's interesting how quickly, like, neither of them really grapple with the situation.
Right.
I think I got the sense that Ellie, for all the, like, wouldn't it be cool to have a gun, then she's done this, and you sort of see her standing there. And I did get a bit of a moment of, like, this kind of look of her being like, maybe if it was up to her, she would.
Mm.
Like, this guy's, like, pleading, and she just hasn't seen enough of the world outside of the QZ that you get the sense that she would think, like, yeah, just let this guy go to his mum.
Mm.
Like, We can't, like, he's pleading. He's begging.
He's like, he's in tears and he's begging for his life. And, you know, he's sincere about it. I don't think he's like trying to trick them and like he's going to go behind his belt for another gun or something. He means like, please don't kill me.
Yeah, he's straight up just like, yeah, man, I fell in with this crowd and I'm just following what I'm meant to be
doing. We can be friends. We'll trade. My mum is back home. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But Ellie doesn't have a point of view in it that she expresses, at least. Like, she looks freaked out by the situation and like she doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
But also, at no point goes like, well, Joel, come on, let's...
Yeah, like, Joel's like, get back in the hole.
And she turns around almost straight away.
Yeah.
She follows that order and she's like, she knows what is happening here, you know? I just found that like...
I also thought, I didn't think that she seemed too sympathetic to this guy.
No.
Because she didn't... Yeah, she doesn't say anything. And it's sort of, revealed later on like... She's hurt people before.
True, that's true.
And I feel like Joel is trying to be a bit more. He's trying to open up and be sympathetic to her, and it doesn't seem like she really needs it.
I did. I read it as she's definitely like, it's all hitting her.
Yep.
She's like, Jesus Christ. Whereas Joel is immediately like, I'm definitely going to kill this motherfucker. Yes. It doesn't matter what he says or how much he pleads. There is no question that I'm killing him. Whereas, I don't know. My read on it was if she was there by herself and she had the time, she may have ended up just through virtue of being a bit younger and all the rest of it.
I don't know. I took it like the speed and the fact that she doesn't try to get Joel to let him go or like, and she looks like high adrenaline, but didn't look conflicted as much as like just sort of freaked out by the situation.
I just thought this scene was a deviation and a waste of time and did nothing to advance the plot and shouldn't have been in there. And everyone responsible just going for a Grammy and should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
A Grammy.
A Grammy. The fact that they started singing during this scene was weird.
What was I going to say? Oh, it kind of sucks that it... Killing him doesn't slow them down. As in, like, they're still being hunted down by these people. They're still in an extremely dangerous area. What's he going to have said? Like, they went that way? Like, they're still looking for them anyway.
But, yeah, like, he's a loose end.
Yeah.
You know, like, you've just... So Ellie goes, climbs back through the hole because Joel tells her, like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Go to the other side of the wall. And I think kills him with the knife or something.
Yeah.
You don't hear a gunshot.
Yep.
Schnicked bub.
Yes. I think a big part of it would have just been, well, you tried to kill me, so you have to die.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if, like, all the. He and probably in his head screaming. Is like, yeah, what is he going to do? But he's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
It's just like he's an enemy combatant.
Yeah.
And there's no, you know, you're not taking prisoners in this world.
Mm.
And there's a slim chance that, because the second his friend shows up, he's no longer going to be like, hey, I found some people to trade with.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
He's dangerous enough.
This girl shot me in the back. Let's go kill her.
Yeah.
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 So they move some stuff out of the way and clamber through and go through the room and decide, well, we've got to make our way through this city and try to get to a vantage point.
Yes.
Yep.
Where we can figure out where to go from here.
Because we're lost.
And there's fucking trucks driving around.
Yeah,
exactly. Like Joel and Ellie, they don't know what's going on. They don't know who these people are.
Mm.
So it's time to let the audience know a little bit about who these people are.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a shame that Joel and Ellie can't just be watching the show that they're in.
Oh, it would help so much.
Because they could have found out so much about these people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But not... Where Henry is, because that doesn't get revealed.
What if they had have just cut to them Beavis and Butthead style on a couch watching the scene with Kathleen?
Kathleen, delivered her. What is she, male? I thought she was female. Delivered her, he's a postman.
Clear, I barely know her.
Yeah, there's been no clickers in the show so far.
You're not going to be able to heal yourself of that one, doctor.
What's the cure for a bullet in the head? I've never seen Beavis and Butthead.
Corn holio, more like head holio.
Why did you write run on the cattle thing at the front of your truck?
Hey, butthead. Oh, the pages are all stuck together.
Yeah, I was using it earlier, dude.
Dumbass.
So yeah, we go over to
my judge must just have the best time making that show. Oh, it's fun God. To do.
It is fun to do. We couldn't get out of it for way too long.
We didn't even have anything that good to do with it. It's just fun to pretend to be the dumbest person of all time and do a funny voice.
Yeah, it's so funny.
The propane would have actually run out by the time 20 years had passed. We go to a woman. Yes, we find out her name later. It's Kathleen.
Yep.
But there's a woman interrogating a frightened man.
Yeah, and frightened clearly old fella.
She's asking a list of names and wants to know where they are.
Yeah.
And he is clearly lying when he says he doesn't know where Henry is, who's mm-hmm. one of the people she's after. And it's clear from their conversation that there's been some sort of revolt.
Yes.
Here that, well, fuck you, is this the cell my brother died in? Oh, you want me to stop now that I'm the one who's in charge and you're in danger?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So this, you know, the QZ being empty and there's been some sort of people's revolt.
She accuses him of ratting to Fedra, is that right?
Yeah.
So yeah, Fedra, like in Boston, are like, you know, military law, martial law, everything's fucking clamped down, and yeah, there's been, I guess, her group, she's the head of the group.
It doesn't seem to be the Fireflies.
No.
But she seems to be the person in charge of, yeah, this group who we see, because like during that interrogation there's some beeping outside. She goes out and hears about, like, hey, three of our guys have been killed.
Yep.
They're laid out there, and she's like, can you, is there anything we could do? Say I had a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
No, okay. Like, coldly fucking walks back inside and executes this doctor.
Yeah. But also, I mean, for being like an armed militia that is in this like horrifying world now, there does seem to be a lot of commotion and distress over these three people having been killed.
Right.
You know, they're not just like, oh, well, you know, that's what happens. Three more of our guys died out there.
Right.
There's like a big crowd gathered around who are all like, whoa, what's happened? How could this have happened? This is a tragedy. Like, they seem to be all taken aback by it.
They're clearly in control of the city. And this is an unusual
encounter.
It seems as though this has happened relatively recently or something, though, maybe.
Right.
Because, like, the way that they react to it, we've got a big guy with a beard who seems to be, like, the second in command or whatever. Yep.
Oh, yeah. This also is not a game spoiler, but it's a game fact.
Okay.
That guy in the video games The Last of Us 1 and 2 is the voice of Tommy.
Oh, that's Tommy. Okay, yeah, cool. That's nice. So he's like, yeah, whenever this sort of revolt thing has happened, I suppose a lot of the people who are here in this group would have been just citizens under either regime.
Yeah.
You know, so they're freaked out because, like, they immediately go, it must be Henry.
Yep.
He's gotten on the radio and called in mercenaries.
Yeah.
That's who these people probably are. We've got to find them. We've got to find Henry. That's how we fucking end this.
Yep.
So we find Henry, we kill him. So Henry, I guess, associated with Fedra, or it seems from earlier, like a rat for Fedra.
Yeah.
In some way. And it seems as though they're in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Yep. To me, this like changeover. And they've spray painted "We the People" on the side of their fucking trucks.
Yep.
And it's a real, you know, some kind of tea party shit that's happened here.
And then they're driving around to all these houses where I guess they assume that people are living, squatting, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're bringing out the big old battering ram, knocking down the doors.
They've got a lot of, because they look higgledy-piggledy in a way that Fedra didn't.
Yeah,
You know, the masks on and stuff, but it's clearly some of it they've taken from Fedra after they somehow beat them.
They've
got this mishmash of people. And they're sweeping the place looking for, going through apartment buildings and looking for these remaining sort of enemies of theirs, which
because the order has been find anyone that's associated with them
and bloody shoot them
and bloody shoot them,
bloody pop them.
Which I'm really into the way that this show is doing its exposition, just like without having to do exposition.
Yeah,
it's so clear from like a lot of it is like honestly set design and stuff like that.
Yes,
people's attitudes, just like the point at which we pick up in the middle of a story that's been going on. You figure you know what's happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're sweeping the city while Joel and Ellie are hunkered down inside a bar,
a high low bar.
Yes.
It's like a cool place.
Yeah.
A lot of newspaper over the walls and shit. I'm not sure if I'd like it in there.
No, it's an aesthetic choice, Knox.
Yeah.
I don't like the fake dive bar look.
Oh, okay.
Broadsheeted faff over this in real life.
They'd be fucking lying down the block for next week.
But, Joel and Ellie are sitting in there waiting for the sweeping of the trucks to go past. They think they'll be okay for a little bit before they start looking in non-residences,
yes.
And,
which is weird. Why didn't they just knock down every door, personally?
Everywhere's a house post-apocalypse,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm living in a fucking food shop.
I'm living in a water tank.
Oh, yeah, I'm not like fucking Wild Wild West.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm living at Wet and Wild. I'm getting my way up there. That's like my Wyoming, where I'm like, I just need to get to the Gold Coast.
Right.
So I can live on a water slide.
Up the top of the water slide, being like, huh, you think you've got me, huh, zombie? See you later.
And there's no water on the slide.
Yeah. You're just like, arrivederci. Getting down, I just grazed all down my back.
Or standing up the top of the water slide. It's running, there's water going down there. Huh, you think you've got me, huh, zombie? Well, watch this. Gun in the mouth. Boom. Figured you out. While they're sitting there, they have like a very awkward check-in with each other of like, Ellie asks if Joel's okay, and he's like, yeah, I'm fine. Are you all right?
All righty then.
Yeah, it's a bit like he's basically trying to say sorry that you were put in the position where you had to kill a man in cold blood.
Also, I'm secretly mad that you stole that gun and didn't tell me about it.
But I also have I can't say anything about that because I'd be dead otherwise.
Yeah.
And he's kind of, he's all over the place. He can't really get the words out. She's like, well, you're really bad at this. Also, is this where she goes, I've had to hurt people before.
I think she mentions it and they don't expand because he asked her again about it later
on. Yes, that's right.
And at this point he's like,
because he's trying to be like, I remember the first time I had to hurt someone.
Yeah.
And he makes a point of going like, not that you killed him.
Yeah.
You didn't kill him.
Yeah.
But the first time I had to hurt someone, I remember. And that's when she does say, it's not my first time doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all of this last day makes Joel go, all right, well, you forced my hand here. It's time to teach this little cunny how to work a gun.
It's both hands, thumb over thumb.
Yes.
Squeeze the right hand with the left, I think.
Finger off the trigger.
Finger off the trigger.
I made notes. I was like, I know how to... I'm a weapons expert now after this show.
Me too.
I mean, the problem is if the outbreak happens in Australia is there aren't enough guns for everyone to be worried about guns.
Yes.
Ooh, interesting.
So we'll be walking around with cricket bats and shit trying to whack heads in.
God, I hope they cut to Australia at some point because the gun reform had already come in long before 2003.
Only the cops would have them to shoot the infected.
Even the cops didn't have that as many of them back then as they do now.
Yeah.
They didn't have the automatic weapons in the same way.
That's true.
So, you know, we're pretty light on guns. You'll go around to Tony Mockbell's house first.
Yeah. That's a good plot point. We all need the underworld.
Yeah.
And I think that Underbelly would have just come out.
Yeah, yeah.
In 2003. Maybe not quite.
Not in Melbourne, though.
I think it was maybe that year or the year after where there was the season that couldn't be on here. So you had to, like, drive.
Or buy the DVD.
You had to drive across the border to Albury.
They made a crime show about a crime that was still currently being litigated with, like, mobsters and stuff. So they didn't air it in the city here where it had all happened.
To prejudice the jury.
And the DVDs didn't come out, but there were people who would, like, be on holiday in Sydney and come back and be like, guess what, fellas? I got a copy of Underbelly on
DVD.
I'm
going to Canberra for some fireworks.
It's fine.
And an okay show. they have the AD. He teaches her about the gun.
Yep.
And it's the way that they're bonding, these two, is
traumatic
and traumatic.
Yeah.
And
it's either
believable.
Through,
Totally.
It's either through bad puns or firearms training.
Take the guns.
There's no in between.
Yeah.
She's very much a kid with those jokes.
Really
seems like a child.
Yeah.
And so it makes this bit where you're having to teach her about the guns. Even clear, we're like, dude, if you still find that shit funny, then you shouldn't be holding a gun. But
and her response to all the stuff he's telling her about with the guns is like,
oh,
Oh, fuck. That's sick.
After he like teaches her the proper grip for it, he's like, you know, wrestling the gun to show her, like, see how solid your grip is. And she's laughing.
Yeah.
Like, it's
like, whoa.
Oh, this is cool. Douche, douche, douche.
But he tells her as well, like, put that in your pack.
Yeah.
And she secrets it away in the pocket.
Yeah. Which is dumb. Even if you think it's cool, he's like, because it'll go off and shoot you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, I don't care about that. I want to be a cowboy.
I mean, you've broke it. You've gone against him so many times, and it's all panned out as fine. It's like, surely you still get the gun.
Yeah.
You're allowed the gun.
Yeah.
Just put it in your damn bag.
In your knapsack.
And it's a middle ground too. I think he's saying don't do the waistband, which I've always been freaked out about in every movie whenever people do that.
No, you've just got to be really confident.
Or just have like a very flat ass.
Yeah.
And then you'll just shoot down behind you.
Yeah. Mm.
We go back and see some of these, the Kansas crew.
Yes.
Who are having a look at, I think it was a coin laundry where the car crashed into, and they're like looking at the scene of that or something. And Kathleen gets taken away by Beard Man.
Yes.
They've found a place where one of these people they're looking for clearly was staying.
Yes.
They found, we assume it's Henry. And there's like cans of food in this attic that they've found.
Is that why it's called Kansas City? Because there's cans of food there?
In a city.
Yeah, yeah.
That is exactly why.
Oh, cool.
Well, Americans pronounce it Kansas.
Yeah.
And our pronunciation of everything is insane and ridiculous. But there's little drawings of like...
Supermans.
I guess it's Superman.
Yep.
There's
holding,
you know,
hands, I think, in one of them.
Caped superheroes are like... So clearly...
There's a kid, or there's a 35-year-old man.
Yeah, James Gunn's little hidey hole has been found.
Well, hey, it's HBO Max, it's DC.
Oh,
you know, they're starting it. They're getting the synergy happening.
Imagine
early.
Imagine if Henry Cavill as Superman shows up in The Last of Us.
Oh shit, Henry!
Oh my god!
That's who it is.
Fuck!
Listen to Witcher, I Barely Know Her, if you want more. So they found that, and then, you know, they pick up the cards and look, oh, damn, the shit we're going to have to do.
Right.
The thing.
Right.
And then also another wrinkle is...
Oh, yeah.
So down in this basement, Beardman takes Kathleen down to... There's smashed
up... It's their
up
storeroom, right? That's what it says on the door. Yeah. It's where most of their supplies, or some of their supplies are.
I assume it's an old storeroom from... You know, before the fall or whatever. I don't know if they were using this room, but they found. So there's like kind of a sinkhole, it looks like, is like crumbled down under the ground, and the ground is pulsing.
It's undulating.
It is.
It's
throbbing.
It's turgid.
It's moist.
It's panties.
But, my assumption is that that's fucking, you know...
A big monster or something?
Or like the network of tendrils.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me. It's
there.
Like, because, they... Okay. Beardman.
Yeah. He doesn't have a name, does he?
I don't think he's referred to by name at any point.
I'm not sure.
But you know, he's like, you need to see this. And she's like, all right, well, don't tell anyone about this. Let's go and deal with the other stuff we got to deal with first, and then we can deal with this later.
Yeah.
And he's like, madam, with all due respect.
I think the zombies are the reason that we're even in this situation in the first place.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, my pet project first. I need to kill Henry, who is apparently a small child.
Yeah.
So
do you think if this was happening in the UK... The Beardman equivalent would be like, very good mum.
Definitely.
Still sticking to it 20 years on.
Yep.
Yeah.
All the you know.
Dude, if there's anything that an Englishman loves, it's a bit of tradition.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And he'd be wearing a beef eater hat.
Yeah. There'd have been Union Jacks all over those fucking trucks.
We
need to see... Most things, it's like, oh yeah, of course, everything's like focused on America because that's where things are made. Generally, I couldn't care one way or the other, but in this, show us Britain, show us Australia.
Maybe it's all fine. Maybe they're just like, we killed them all with the cricket bats, and we got back to business.
Or Children of Men is the Britain,
right?
You know, oh no, they've just shut their borders. Everything's
with islands. Australia would be similar. The population centers are so far apart from each other.
Yeah,
you'd have just small little. Who knows?
There'd be a horny,
it's an interesting world to
there'd
explore.
There'd be a horny security guard who would have sex with an infected and get bitten, and then that's how it would escape again.
Yes, we'd have it all set up to be perfectly safe.
Yeah, it would be like a couple of months and we'd be getting on with our lives.
We let a fucking cruise ship full of zombies dock because they used to be rich when they were alive. Oh, I hate Australia.
So, yeah, they ignore this, I suppose, network of mushrooms
right.
that is bulging underneath the ground.
Yep. Hey, even if all it is just literally a sinkhole, still bad to ignore it.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's a problem for episode 5, I assume.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope we turn on Binge next week and the episode title comes up. The hole.
Oh yeah.
We're going in, boys.
That throbbing hole. And then, I mean, something else happens that sets us up very nicely for next week. I believe we must be up to this last scene, right?
Them climbing up the tower.
Yep.
Yes.
Joel and Ellie, reach this Kansas tower.
The Kansas tower.
That they've been trying to get to and managed to climb up 30-something, I think, flights.
45. 45? Well, it's 45 to the top.
Yeah.
But they only climb part way.
Yeah, they don't go all the way.
Yeah.
And Joel's fucking, you know, tight. He's hurt his leg, it looked like, in the fight. He was kind of limping around a bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he makes most of his way up. But
wimp.
Reiterates to Ellie, like, I am 56 years old.
Yeah.
I'm doing okay. Let's set up shop.
That's so old.
Remember Joel from The Last of Us? This is him now. Feel old yet?
Joel is responding, yes.
It's, yes. I mean, it's yes. too, like... It's older than you're not in your prime, you know, if you've been running around your whole fucking the last 20 years.
Yeah.
There's going to be some, you know, wear on the hood.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or the
any
innards,
of our
the
listeners
knees.
Who are in their 50s, guess what? According to Adam, it's over for you.
In an apocalypse situation. But also, hey, I like old.
Yeah.
It means that we're still here.
Yeah.
You
know
that's
what
true.
I got that from? A deviation from the plot that I don't think was at all meant. But so, yeah, they make it partway up this tower and find just like an empty floor and
yeah.
Yep.
Set some themselves office block up. Or something, it just looks like, yeah.
Grab some couch cushions and try to, because Joel hasn't slept.
Joel sprinkles some glass on the ground.
Yeah.
Some Christmas ornaments as well.
Yeah. Sets up some paint cans on strings.
Yeah.
Heats up one of the door handles.
Gets a gangster movie and just puts that on repeat in the doorway.
Don't come in. We're infected. It's from like 28 days later or something.
Yeah. Keep the change, you infected animal.
And they go to sleep again. And again, road trips and sleepovers.
Yes.
It's classic bonding.
Mm. Yep.
This is more like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants at this point.
Well, I've got a funny joke about pants for you.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Do you know that diarrhea is hereditary?
Mm. Is it?
It goes through your genes.
It runs in
runs
your jeans.
In your genes. I don't
it
have the book.
Works still. It goes through your genes.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah.
But
your dad has it.
That's way better, honestly.
they start going to sleep again, and like Ellie seemingly sarcastically asks Joel, like, it seems like it's a crack. Like, are you going to be able to hear the thing? He kind of takes it as a age thing at
right.
first, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's like plunked himself down when they get up there, and she's lifted him up and been like, come on, lazy.
Yeah.
And he's
yeah.
like, I'm not fucking lazy. I'm 56.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, she tells him, like, I noticed you don't hear so well out of your right ear. Is the reason. Like, I was actually asking. And he explains it's probably because I fired a bunch of guns rather than getting shot there. And that's when, like, because on the way up the stairs too, she's asked him, hey, have you ever hurt, like, innocent people?
Yes.
And you were saying before about, like, the shit that you did with the group.
Right.
With you and Tess and Tommy and that whole thing. Like, and he doesn't answer that.
No.
He's like, Keep walking up the stairs, but clearly yes.
Yeah,
he's like, oh yeah.
Oh, big time. Plenty. You saw me do it earlier today.
Yeah.
Not that he was innocent, but we came to his house.
Sure.
But
we crashed through the front of his laundrette.
We drove into his trap.
Yeah.
So you've really got to respect that.
Well, because at the start of that conversation is her saying, how did you know they were going to ambush us? And he's like, I've been there before on both sides.
Yes.
So he's run that little ruse.
Yeah, that little con.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
help. Help.
I hurt my little leg.
My little penis hurts. Please pull over.
Please come and rub it better. That's the con that he's
Psych,
done.
Psych, chick, chick, boom.
Now, did I say to stop rubbing my penis?
And as they're going to sleep this time, he's the one who pipes up with a, hey, so you said you'd done it before. Would you want to tell me about that?
Mm-hmm.
And she refuses. She doesn't want to tell him about it.
Wouldn't have thought so, Ed.
No, not today. But I got another crack for you. Here's a wisecrack.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets a laugh out of the old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he ironically enough, he's about to crap his dax. He's laughing so much.
He's bussing up.
They have a fun little...
Joel be bussing up.
A cute little giggle together.
Not that funny, honestly. I thought it was unrealistic.
But it's like a release of the tension, it seems like, too, throughout the day.
No.
Again, Ben, there's no comedy in this world for 20 years.
What a paradise.
My interpretation of that scene was that he told a joke, so, of course, I would assume that no one would ever laugh. And he's giggling away with his watch up near his face to, you know...
Beautiful moment.
Really nice moment. Yeah.
You can fall asleep and have a lovely sleep off the back
very
of that.
Restful.
All this stuff in this episode was like, off the back of that pointless deviation last week.
To be clear, we're being ironic Don't take them out of context.
Don't
misunderstand us because we pronounced your cities wrong.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful episode and we said it immediately.
Yeah.
The point of the end of that last one of going like, he gets it now. He's set on this task. He sees the value in helping this person and then just like, seeing him with the guard down a little bit in regards to his relationship with her and all of that kind of coming off the back of the end of last week. Just like all these nice little moments of just like, this guy gets it now. And they are a team. Like he's boosting her up through the walls. He's telling her to go hide and she's doing it. Like, I love that last episode got us to this point.
Yeah.
We're not still kind of like, without last
Where
week's
are you
episode.
From? Shut up.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, if this had been at three, there still probably would have had to have been a little bit of like combativeness.
And
like,
there still kind of is that. Like, it isn't, it's not an unrealistic jump. It's a slow crawl to them getting to this point throughout this episode, but it's believable. Like, I mean, they're the only person each other has, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to happen.
Yep.
But B, it seems they seem to genuinely be developing proper respect for one another.
Yeah.
And I think she already had it with Joel because she's a kid and he's an adult and he knows what he's doing.
Mm.
And I think straight away she was looking up to that survivalist part of him.
Yes.
But he can see that she is not a liability in the way that he maybe initially took her as, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that's interrupted by her having a shout, hey, Joel, unfortunately, there's a couple of guns to our heads here.
Yep.
And that's where we end with...
The worst thing, the terrible thing about lowering your guard, it means your guard is down.
It's the perfect time to pounce, which a couple of people have done here.
Yes.
So there's a guy with a gun to Ellie's head, and then Joel looks over and there's like a kid with face paint.
Yeah.
Pointing a gun right at him, giving him a shh.
Assuming this kid, same kid, been painting some Supermans.
You've got to imagine,
I think it's logical to draw that conclusion.
I don't think anybody would be confused if we were to infer that.
It's interesting that the
adult
went, I don't
think that would be a spoiler.
I'm going to point my gun at the young girl and then say to his child, you take the full-grown adult.
Yeah. Coward.
Yeah.
Cool, I reckon.
Cowardly man, cool kid.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
The cat's in the cradle.
But so they're held up. They're
hostages.
And
we'll find out what happens on next week's episode.
God damn it, you'd hope that we do.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so. Well, any more thoughts on the episode as a whole, I guess?
I just realized that there was no flashbacks or anything.
Yeah.
Not in last one as well, like beforehand, like no pre...
Right.
Sort of...
cold open.
No cold open-y like we got in Indonesia and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. But, and like, even this, the side story is happening simultaneously. Like it is all just, this is...
We're in Kansas City.
We're in it. It's all chronological.
So yeah, the set, like... I really like how natural seeming the bond forming between Joel and Ellie is.
Yes.
It's not, people can make friends way too quickly in like movies and shit, people are like
unrealistically, yeah.
And they're like, ah, what are you? Yeah, fuck you. And then very quickly they're like, actually, the whole time I was the most caring person,
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not that.
No, like, I know. I think it's impressive given like the length of the source material is far exceeds the length of this series, and it's pacing it really, really well.
Yeah.
And Joel's still telling Ellie, hey, your cargo.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's yeah. not that he's going to find Tommy. He's explained what the situation is.
Yeah.
He's just, like, he's seeing a bit of her competence, partly.
Yeah.
Or just, like, lack of, she's not a risk in the same way that he maybe thought initially.
Yes.
So, I'm liking it. And I'm interested to see this, like, Kansas mob, what they're up to.
Mm-hmm.
What are they trying to get? I feel like we don't need much more backstory on them. It felt fully enough.
Yeah, I get it.
But their big trucks and shit and their gung-ho attitude is a real threat driving around. Like those cars driving around were scary to see. Being hunted down in the streets.
Yeah.
So
will Joel and Ellie get out of this one, boys?
Well, we'll find out earlier this week. So the next episode is on Friday night America time because of the Super Bowl next week.
Yes.
So, yeah, to all the Americans listening annoyed that we pronounce your place names wrong, well, guess what? We're having to fuck up our weekend and record on a Saturday because of your goddamn Super Bowl.
The
so
Supper
how about
Bowl.
You give us a bit of license here, all right?
The funniest joke? Calling it the Superb Owl.
Hey, that's sports ball.
Yeah, that's
cool. In the fucking joke book.
How did the sports ball match go today?
We'll try and record it at the same relative time to the episode, so it should be up that same day or whatever. But you know, you'll see on your podcast feed when exactly that comes up.
We might all decide to go to the beach together on Saturday instead.
That'd be cool. Is it going to be hot?
I don't know.
They should just air the app as a Super Bowl ad in the middle of or the halftime show. It's a popular show.
Fuck,
that'd get eyeballs on it.
This deviation from the Super Bowl did not further the plot of these two teams fighting. But yeah, so just and if you didn't know, that's when it's on.
Yeah. Yep.
This Friday or Saturday Australia time, Friday America time.
Now I mean, you know. I don't know why anyone in this country would be aware of that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just watching it on binge, it's not like they're going to go, hey, by the way, guys.
And they didn't, like, say it after the show or anything.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be 30 degrees Celsius on Saturday.
Oh.
That's podcasting weather, baby.
Yeah, let's do the app in the pool.
Okay.
Let's
just
go down
a
the
horrific,
Fitzroy
like,
pool.
Crackling zappings. the worst. So we'll be back with them for the show.
Yes.
We're about to hit spoiler town now.
Yep. Yeah.
So if you're a TV only person, this is your first time with the story, bow out.
Yep.
ClickerIBarelyKnowHer@gmail.com if you have thoughts.
Yeah.
ClickerIBarelyKnowHer on Instagram. I noticed I put that in the description of the podcast episode for the first time last week and heaps of people followed us.
That's cool.
So I guess we just never mentioned up until now. But
yeah,
we're on Instagram
media.
As well. We'll post the episodes there, post like little images. And you can also, leave some comments on those posts. It's very nice. And I think it helps, you know, the more engagement, the more likely those are to appear to people who don't already follow us. So reviews on your podcast apps is all really, really helpful to us. And thank you to everyone who's already done it. There's been a lot of really nice reviews.
Yeah,
so
we're
thank
loving
you.
It.
The video game podcast Filthy Casuals is called Filthy Casuals with Tommy Daslow, Ben Van Allen, and Adam Knox.
Yep.
And we've got a Patreon that's for that, but also like if you want to support this show,
yes.
patreon.com/filthycasualspod is we do a bunch of stuff, but mainly like a bonus episode every week that's talking about film and TV and movies and stuff. So if you like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a White Lotus recap a couple months ago when that was airing, so you can go back and find all them.
We'll probably talk a bit of Succession when that airs.
Yeah.
There's, I'm a big movie hound. I'm watching shit every week.
But
so, yeah.
If you're looking for spoilers for this episode, so from this point on, if you're just watching the show, we'll see you soon. We'll see you next week or
thank
whenever,
you.
Like
we'll
Saturday listen. Or something.
Yep.
But if you haven't played the games and don't want those stories spoiled, that's what we're moving into here.
Yeah.
The sealed section, spoilers incoming, video game stuff, please leave. Enough time has been made now
both
for you to pull over.
And the DLC will
everything.
Be spoiled.
Siphon out some gas and pull over.
Yep.
Time to leave if
pull
you don't
out your
want
joke
spoilers.
Book and give that a read.
And if you're still
this
here.
This is going to be serious.
If you're still here. It's the sealed section, baby.
Welcome into the sealed section.
Spoilers.
The premium area for VIPs only.
The red velvet rope has been pulled back. How so does that it we feel can to say, be here? The difference in tone with the action thing, we mentioned it a bit before, but like I was genuinely looking for some reason, a thing in my head with this show is like, I wonder if they'll do the pushing the head into glass thing.
Right.
And the change in just like making the action a lot more, these are real people fighting each other with guns, I think really works for this show.
And they're only doing it when necessary, like because up until this point in the game, there's, you know, they've had to like manufacture
you
these.
You fight the fucking tank that they see drive past in the road. You know,
you have
that
to like manufacture these scenarios to be in, to have gameplay and dropping them out. And then even the ones where it's like, okay, this does make sense in the story. This should be in here. But yeah, we don't need to fucking spend 20 minutes on this. Just have him, just get, you know, it's about the, like I said in the lead up to the show coming out, all the pre-review stuff I read was all about like there's not a ton of action in it. It's more focused on the like aftermath of those things happening. And like this is a great example of that. Just like, there's two guys, he shoots them and it's fucked. And then that's what you're watching is them reacting to those situations.
It also felt really similar to the game still. You know, like it was like, it's pretty much a faithful recreation of like the lead up to it, smashing into the building.
So there's exact dialogue too.
Yeah, right.
And it's happened in every episode. Yeah. But like the bit with the magazine and what they're saying to each other there, I remember that pretty vividly for some reason, and it's exactly the same. That smash cut to Ellie being asleep is from the game.
Yeah, right.
Well, like, hearing people off in the distance yell out, "You motherfucker," it's like that's so video gaming. Yes.
Yeah. So like
Brian,
how much of the script has been kept verbatim from the game is, I suppose not surprising, but it's just interesting to see that, like, and I guess it helps if you have one of the people who was key in writing that stuff or whatever.
Yeah, and it helps if the writing initially was really good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you've written them in cutscenes, which are already pretty cinematic anyway, it's like, well, you can just lift that out.
Yeah,
like,
but also,
it's the beats when you're going from A to B and doing the traversal and the combat that you've got to think about.
The additions here, though, were great. Like the extra, the camping stuff and the extra dialogue and the driving, explaining Tommy's backstory and having that have like a connection to Joel's worldview. All of that additional stuff is all completely hitting for me.
Yeah, because I hadn't really thought of it this way, but they, on the HBO podcast, they talked about it in episode two, opening with Ellie being asleep and Joel and Tess kind of like watching over her because they don't trust that she's not actually going to turn into an infected.
Yep.
And they talk about how in the game there is no break. You're playing all the way through uninterrupted. Yeah, yeah. But with this, it's like the episode stops and we come back. So we have those, you know, people might play a game in an 8-hour session if they really want. Whereas with this, we're making the audience stop. So it actually made them think about those things of like, well, yeah, I mean, if we're coming back in, they would have rested overnight.
Yeah.
And we're not going to bother having that in the game. But here we've got an opportunity to kind of like get into the reality of this stuff a little bit more.
Well, the time I remember them sleeping is in what I will assume is probably what the next episode is going to be, which is when they wake up and Sam has turned.
Yes. Right.
And like that's the thing. I'm like, they got a cute kid being Sam.
Yeah.
They got real human beings who are going to have to do the Henry and Sam shit.
Yeah.
That stuff is fucking heavy. And it's going to whack.
It's the same. Yeah, same as the premiere episode where it was like, oh, yeah, seeing a real young girl get shot by the cops is really fucked up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It is much more impactful than the game.
And like, yeah.
And there were plenty of people that couldn't handle the game.
Yes.
Like I've read a lot of stuff of people being like, you know what, I sat down to play it and I had a kid 6 months ago and I did that intro and I thought, nah. Yeah. Right. I'm out. This is too much for me.
And this is like some brutal shit that happens to Henry and Sam.
Yeah.
I like the addition of this like Kansas, like these actual people we're seeing the reasons why they're this militia.
Yeah.
Now like they've had an upright, like there's a reason for them to be this like militarized and aggressive.
Right.
They're still hunting down like the people they see as enemy combatants, basically.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that they're this heightened and this like,
whereas in the game it's just like, well, they're called hunters, they're baddies, and and you draw your own conclusions of like, well, I guess that would have happened in a post-apocalyptic society, but
yeah, they're just like exactly those like, well, we're hunting everyone.
Yeah.
We just kill instead of
we just want talk. Your shit. Yeah, yeah.
But like the life that they're bringing to that is working.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're also sort of into terrain now where my memory of these of this yeah this section of the game, basically up until the very end, is like pretty patchy.
Mm.
So I'm watching it being like, yeah, this is all kind of fresh. Like I vaguely remember right. the like that. Immediately, like crashing through that window and yeah. having that gunfight, I was like, yeah, I remember that. That mm-hmm. looks, the staging of that is like basically identical, right yeah. down to like the angle that the car is on and everything. It looks, and he's like taking cover in a way that looks very similar.
Yeah.
But yeah, these actual story beats, I was like, oh yeah, Henry, so that sounds familiar. But yeah, I'm a bit more along right. for the ride at this point.
Well, so something that is jumping out more and more as well is like how they're portraying Ellie as like maybe already a bit fucking psycho.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I'm liking that.
Yeah.
Because especially for what Last of Us 2 does with her character, it fits.
Yeah.
It's and it probably needs to be there in a more heightened way in terms of like when you look at her eyes, because you're not going to do it as a player at any point. You're not going to feel that like aggression from having to kill these people.
Yeah, yeah.
In a game, you need to see it from that person in a really clear way.
Yeah.
And I think they're doing a really good job of that, of just like these little her fascination so far with these violent things is
and the reverse with Joel.
Right
like where he the reason that he dies is because he has relaxed a little bit and certainly more by that point. It's another, what is it, 10 years or something.
Setting up that brutality that he has,
yeah,
the ability to kill innocent people, and also the fact that he only has attachment to people he considers family, super important for what happens at the end of this season.
Yes,
assume.
Yes,
like, and they're doing that well. Like, I believe that Joel will kill anyone that's not his family.
Yeah, yeah,
and that he doesn't give a flying fuck about anyone who's not his family.
Yeah,
and that like so. The way he still had barriers up even with Tess, the way that Ellie is breaking those down in a way that reminds him clearly of Sarah as we go forward.
Yeah.
Being done super well. And it's already there in the game and it's a good story already, but like they're being so, they're not fucking up the parts of those adaptations that you need to change with, having less time and with having characters who you're not directly in control of. Because the first time Ellie shoots someone in the game is very different. It's not in that sequence. Later on, Joel's getting drowned in a puddle by a guy, and Ellie comes up and saves you, and it's like a fair bit later and you go through this city.
Right.
But there's more space in between either side of that. And then I think Joel teaches Ellie to use the sniper rifle to cover him in that later section against the tank.
Yes.
So that stuff has happened here in this episode without all of that set piece gameplay stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're really being economical, but like not in a way that feels like it's skipping over anything.
Yeah,
it's
cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else have we got?
Uncharted.
We got some questions. I mean, we got this email from Mitchell who basically asks us who we would cast as Abby. And also makes the point of like, it's probably going to have to be someone who's like pretty jacked. I don't think that they have to portray Abby in quite as extreme a way. It obviously is part of the storytelling of the second game where she does become, makes herself stronger to get this revenge.
But it doesn't need to be shown physically in the way that the game
And it doesn't have to be a WWE diva.
And also actors change their bodies all the time for roles. Like, I mean, it's really hard to say because like, I don't, like, Pedro doesn't look like Joel really looks in the game, and Bella Ramsey doesn't look like Ellie looks in the game. I think they're doing a really good job of just getting people who are doing the good performances, and then, you know, it's an adaptation. It doesn't have to be one for one, and someone can be cast who's going to give a great believable performance and then just like do some training and put on a bit of muscle and like that's believable.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised as well if they kind of find a different way to do the story of the second one without as much of a time gap between like, and Abby, you know, builds all that physical strength during that time gap. And I wouldn't be surprised if we don't really see that same amount of time pass.
Sure.
Partly to have Bella Ramsey be able to do it without that seeming, but like, and it's already, I don't know. I was thinking about this the other day and I can't remember what I was thinking now. But it was something about that.
They introduce, and I think Tommy, you brought it up. I kind of agreed, and I think Knox, you were a bit more skeptical of the fact that they will tease Abby at the end of this season and sort of introduce her and be like,
who knows?
Okay, now this is the impetus for the second season. And I kind of think that, yeah, with that perspective, Knox, of being like, maybe it'll happen right away. You know, maybe they'll introduce an Abby who is older than she is in this point of the game's story in the game, you know?
Maybe.
Someone mentioned, I think an email we got, or was it an email or on the Discord? Someone somewhere mentioned the prospect that maybe season two could start all with Abby and...
This was an email, yeah.
Yeah, do a bit of like a bit of a fake out of like, yeah, this is what the show is now. You know, you saw these guys for all of season one, but what this show is we show you different kind of, you know, different parts of the landscape and how we're dealing with this.
Yeah, because like Abby being about the same age as Ellie as well is kind of important in some ways with how Last of Us Part Two does it of like showing their mirrored kind of journeys of like Abby going on this revenge story first. And Ellie almost like losing connection with her father figure during that time. So like you'd have to be careful about how you change all that stuff, you know, but the changes they have, I'm just so confident in whatever they choose to do and so happy to have a different version of that story that
I think that's the main thing. The way their deviations in this have been some of the best stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not just coming from someone, obviously, who's played the games and wants to see something different.
Right.
With spend their time, you know, consuming a new story. Even people who are watching this fresh are, like, loving those, you know, changes that they've made, not knowing that they're changes, but just, like, as episodes and as story beats, people are loving that stuff.
Mm.
So I kind of almost would prefer to see them just, like... throw it out and just keep the broad strokes and like I am probably more excited to see them like potentially do it differently. I think it would work fine doing it kind of the keeping the same beats and the same structure and the same timeline as the second game, but
which
like,
is what
yeah,
they're
like
doing
you said,
here with the
yeah,
first one.
But. Whatever they're doing when they change it, they are doing it so well that like it would be exciting to start season two and have it, you know, from the get go be so different. Be like, oh, okay, they're. This is going to be exciting to see what they do here.
And a lot of that stuff that works so well in part two is partly because it is so using the medium of being a game to assist that story. Like it's like narratively well done, but also like is making some of the, a lot of those decisions are made because they know you're going to be playing as these characters.
Yes.
Rather
forcing
than watching
you
their story.
To identify with the quote unquote villain. And
so maybe there's a much better way of doing that in a, filmed version than in the exact same way, but who knows? And the fact that we're excited to see it is cool. Like, you know, I've seen people talking about like, the God of War series, excited for that with Amazon, and like, The Last of Us' story is a lot better.
Yep.
Like, and the 2018 God of War and everything, I really liked them, but
yeah, absolutely.
It's not the same type of thing.
It's and not the best story in video games of all time.
Yeah.
Like The Last of Us.
There were so many people at the time when The Last of Us game came out saying this feels like an HBO series.
Right,
yeah.
And it, other games where people comment on the writing, that still never gets said about the other, you know,
and
the
just,
next best example of writing is still like, this is great for a video game, but it's a great video game.
I think often video games have wrinkles in them that you forgive because it's a game without even necessarily knowing that you're forgiving them.
Yep.
Sure.
In a way that
well, it's like the thing with it being airborne and being spores in the game, which they've changed in this, is that that's kind of a leap of logic that you... Yeah, it's exactly that. It's very video game logic that you forgive, but in a real world context, it's like, well, if this thing's airborne, surely like everyone on Earth has just gotten it at this point. Like if you cannot walk into a building and not know, like
there's
it would have spread
wind.
Way more rapidly. Yeah. So like just that thinking about like, as a change, if you're wanting a series has to be more believable than a game does.
With the way especially that episode from last week has hit like in a public way, I'm so interested to see how the response to this show influences the, I think, inevitable part three of the game, especially with like how much things have changed in the characterization of Joel and Ellie. Like, how does that feed back into the game if we're even focusing on them for a part three? Like,
it's interesting, and it and also it being made as a thing now that's like, it's now a successful media entity.
Right.
It's not just two incredibly well-received games. Mm. It's, yeah, there is all this other stuff to feed in. There was a weird story during the week about how they've delayed the release of the PC version of The Last of Us Part 1, the remake, by, I think, 3 weeks or something. And Naughty Dog's reasoning for it was this kind of weird thing where it's like, given how much everyone's loving the show, we thought we should take a bit more time. And it's like, is the implication here that if the show hadn't been hitting in the same way, you would be rolling? You were like, this has got some bugs, whatever. Like, it's just kind of a weird, but it's like it is already affecting whether that's just an excuse or whatever, but it's like they actively are thinking about it.
And I assume that's probably not, I mean, I don't know, but to do with like the quality of port necessarily, because I think a lot of those PlayStation ones have been well done over to the PC, and like the whole big part of the reason they made that Part 1 remake in the first place was to have this PC version as well, you'd assume.
Mm.
So like,
I assumed it would was more like, and I also thought this was kind of dumb, but it was like, well, if you're watching the show, then we'll let you get to the end of the season before spoiling it by releasing a game that covers the same story.
That's how they said it, too. Yeah. Like, it wasn't so much to do with bugs. It was to do with, like, let them get through the story and the thing first.
Which
and
is like, well, you released this but also, I guess, 6 months ago on the PlayStation 5.
Like, it's sort of funny, but, like, it would also make sense, I guess.
Yeah, like, I guess. It's just an odd decision. It's like, well, I guess if you thought of that, then I guess you'd do it. But
I guess the assumption is PlayStation, you're already in the ecosystem, so you probably would have played it. Whereas PC, if you're interested in the PC port,
that is a huge,
probably
unique
not
audience.
Had the means to play it ever before.
A thought did cross my head when they were saying that too. Of like, I wonder if they just the PC version is very easy to mod. If they don't want to be tainting Twitter with bullshit. Easy to make stuff with the models from that game on the PC coming up during, like, that's maybe a small thing, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying watching this show.
It's a good goddamn show.
It's a good ass show.
Put me mam onto it, and she watched the first three episodes and she likes the show.
Oh, I've got me bird onto it. I rewatched the first three episodes over the weekend. And catching a lot of this little moment that I just had kind of forgotten from ep one when Sarah's at school and that, you know, you've heard a bit of like the background chatter on the radio, and it just this, I thought this was like such an elegant way of just kind of showing stuff kicking off where Sarah's sitting there and she's got the bit of like light reflecting on her head. She's like, oh, it's getting in her eye, and it's like a kid in a like sitting diagonally across from her, and he's got a little bracelet on and his hand's kind of twitching, which is like kind of catching the sun on the bracelet. It's just this like minor, his hand is just doing that, and it's like, well, yeah, that's the morning that it all started to happen. And it's like, yeah, there's just like, there would have just been a morning of people just have a little kind of twitches and bobs and
changes as well, like the stuff with like how they explain the supply chain and everything. I think I was a little confused on until sort of rethinking it, but it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back on Saturday, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Again, like, we'll see what we can do. But, yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah.
Just do it straight after still.
Thank you, Sealed Section VIPs. Thank you for listening to the show.
Yeah.
Thank you to anyone walking past someone's phone while this is playing. Thank you to anyone who's ever lived or died.
Okay.
Some of them I don't want to thank. I don't know.
But thank you for the people who are listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
See you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.